to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. It's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. And he's back. Robert Miranda Flack. How you doing, my friend?
How you doing?
Man, it's been a while.
Yeah, it's been a while. Been pretty busy traveling around trying to help out and do what I can to keep this issue alive in other parts of the country. Just actually was doing some work with some folks in D.C., so we're good.
You know, man, you and I actually going back to an article July 13th in Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, and it was talking about the fact that Wisconsin will receive $79 million to replace lead pipes. And you can say, wow, $79 million. They're getting it, Robert. They're finally getting it. They're going to put $79 million in the lead pipe issue. And it states that there's 40% of the homes in Milwaukee have, you know, lead pipes. And then and then you think and you say, man, $79 million. Well, that's across the state. And
yeah, that's not a big pot. And then it's disconcerting because the idea that this is going to be the kind of godsend we need to address this massive issue is really a dog and pony show being put out there. This thing requires not only more funding, but it requires leaders that have creative ways of coming up with more creative financial ideas on how to bring in the money that is needed to address this matter, especially in the city of Milwaukee.
Man, you know, it wasn't that long ago, with a lot of fanfare, Vice President Kamala Harris came here, and she talked about replacing lead pipes, you know. And man, the fanfare and all, you know, Vice President Kamala Harris is here. They're going to address the lead pipes.
Right.
Man, you know, man, you just...
You know, she did that tour in other cities too, right?
Yeah. I mean, Robert, it's cynical. You become cynical because we're dealing with... in the program I'm running, we're dealing with 200 young boys. And you can kind of sense that many of them have been poisoned by lead.
Exactly.
You can see through their behavior. You follow me? And this impacts and affects their lives forever.
Exactly.
Go ahead.
The lowering of IQs is a irreversible effect of lead poisoning.
You know, and you watch the killings and the young people who are doing the crazy driving and all of those things, you know, Robert, and you can't help but say, these things aren't normal. What's going on, what's happening, it's not normal. And then you realize that every day of their lives, even up to now, they're still drinking leaded water.
Right. And they're drinking it because they have no real knowledge of the danger that this situation poses to their health. Many, many, many families in the city are still not given the information that they need to understand the health effects of lead poisoning as it occurs not only in children and infants, but also as it occurs in adults. And, you know, until people realize the magnitude that lead plays in their health and how that impacts the future of their children and the livelihood of their children. People will look at this in a very nonchalant way and just say, well, you know, the water looks good, the water tastes good, it's sweet, doesn't smell. There's nothing wrong with this water. But the reality is that this is a very insidious poison that is flowing through these, that is tainting the water flowing through these lead pipes. And we have city leadership, which maybe 6 years ago really didn't understand this situation until we came along and started explaining it to them. But I would say today they do have a better understanding of this situation. And I'm very disappointed that they do not have a more aggressive plan in place that would provide the same knowledge and information they have today to the rest of the community so that the community can be more prepared to take the kind of precautions it needs to take in order to protect their children.
Robert, when you can't help but look at behavior, and I see it, and it's behavior that we haven't ever seen before. And, you know, there are people who do know that their children are being poisoned by lead, but where do they go, Robert? They can't afford, and it shouldn't be a matter of you can't afford it, so your child just suffers, right? I mean, because that's where we are.
Right. We're there because we have community leaders that are worthless out here, bottom line. Community leaders that are worthless, not putting the pressure on our local government to focus its resources towards making sure that public health is funded properly and that public health is dealt with in a way that reduces this carnage that's going on in our community. We have very weak community leadership. It doesn't want to put pressure on elected officials because if they put pressure on elected officials tend to isolate them and then they no longer get city dollars in their little nonprofit coffers. This is a pathetic situation that we're in this city. When you've got community leaders running a lot of these nonprofits and they're afraid to say what needs to be said to these elected officials to force the mayor and the common council to move resources away from creating more amenities for Deer District and downtown and creating all these beautiful places for tourism and stuff, and to take some of that money and put it into protecting the public health of this city. It's a very simple process, but we have community leaders that are too weak in the church, in nonprofits, even along the activists. I don't call them activists. I call them actorvists. They do not deal with this situation in the manner it needs to be dealt with.
You know, Robert, and as you stated, it's not because they don't know now, because you and others at Plaque have done an outstanding job over the last 5 years or so in making sure that people know about it. And so here's the other side of it. How can you, on the one hand, Robert, keep saying we need more police, we need to spend more money on law enforcement, and as if that somehow is going to be the answer, when more and more generations are being poisoned and behavior is going to continue in the way that it's going to continue because children have been poisoned, they continue to be poisoned, you're never going to be able to have enough law enforcement. You're not going to be able to afford enough law enforcement to deal with the aftermath of what happens to children who've been poisoned.
But it's easier to come out with those platitudes than it is to be a thinking, creative, visionary leader. And, you know, most of these leaders in City Hall and the Common Council are used to just coming in, sitting in the office, chilling out for a little bit, having a good time, and go home, and then go out and attend whatever they got to attend the little festivities, little fundraisers, little steak dinners. They, you know, you need leadership at City Hall that is willing to get into the trenches and deal with this matter at the most fundamental root cause level and get the resources to those areas that need it the most. And that's not going to happen until you have leadership in the community that forces them to do that.
You know, Robert, it's not enough to say we don't have the money, right? That can't be acceptable.
No, it isn't, because we do have money. They got the money. They wouldn't be throwing money at building new stadiums, building new arena districts. And look at all the construction going on along the lake. They got the money. They just feeding that money to billionaires that don't need the money, who want to create and build new profit centers for themselves. That's what's going on.
So my guess is Robert Miranda. He is with Flack, Fresh Water for Life. Our phone lines are open, as always, at 844-967-2789. We'll be right back. To the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789 and text us at that same number. My guest is Robert Miranda from Flack and Fresh Water for Life. And Robert, a couple things. This is in today's Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Milwaukee is the fourth city with the highest homicide rate in the country. Number four, highest homicide rate in the country, Milwaukee. Listen to this, and this goes back, Robert, many years ago. Insufficient evidence to prove a crime was committed, and this was the lead poisoning. No charges to be filed in the city's handling of lead poisoning cases in kids. This goes back to 2019. There's a coincidence. I mean, it's not a coincidence, Robert.
It's amazing. It's amazing.
Yeah, I mean, it really is.
And there are plenty of studies. Actually, there's UWM study that shows the correlation between gun violence with lead poisoning. They took the study went from the 1990s to the present. I mean, there's just a lot of information out there. And, you know,
Devil Radio, 92.7 FM.
Go ahead, Rob.
That Department of Justice criminal investigation was a sham. I mean, you don't go ahead and hold a criminal investigation and not interview the key people, the commissioners, the health commissioners, the water superintendent, the mayor. They didn't interview none of those folks. Currently, right now, we do have the FBI and the Department of Justice of the United States looking into this. So we're actually waiting for an update from them, and we will be asking for that. But in the meantime, the situation with justice for this community, for the crime that was committed against this community, we're still pursuing. But in the meantime, we do have, like you say, a lot of our kids out there who are just basically damaged from this who are engaging in behavior, who are engaging in violence that is escalating, and it escalates every year because as they continue to drink the water that is tainted with lead, all they're doing is adding more lead to their body. And that lead is eventually going to continue to wind up in their brains and mess up all the signals in that brain. I mean, I'm not talking by just guessing. I'm talking by the studies that were done by major international respected experts on lead and health, like Dr. Bruce Lamphere out of Simon Fraser University in Canada, who I speak with and deal with a lot. And these are major reports, and I know that the city of Milwaukee's leadership knows about them. I know they know this situation to be fact. But again, when you don't have community leaders who are willing to just say, you know what, the community matters first. And to hell with my Mercedes-Benz and my six-figure nonprofit salary. I'm going to push for this community. We're not going to see the leadership in this city move to do very comprehensive planning, strategic planning, to address this matter in a way that is going to eventually save future generations of this city.
You know, Robert, it's not going to go away. You can't wish it away, right?
No, you got to work it. You work this thing away. You can't sit there and, you know, you can pray all you want. Go ahead and pray. But unless you start acting on this, you're not going to see it go away.
You know, Robert, you've been at it a long time. And I know you, and you're not going away. But, man, the first thing is to bring it to the attention of people. You fought to bring it to the attention of people, and right. You brought it, and you did a great job of bringing it. You even forced people who didn't want to accept it to believe it. And even in the face of those people who finally acquiesced and said, yes, we agree, especially in the face of people who still in this city want to not talk about the lead water but continue down the path of lead paint.
Right.
You know, I mean, you're still fighting that battle, right? I mean,
well, then that battle is being fought because, again, you got community leadership that basically is saying yes. Remove the lead from its entirety, from lead paint to lead soil to lead dust. But what is happening is the city leadership is working specifically with folks and community groups and activists out there who only want to address lead paint, lead dust, and lead soil and just give a minute mention of what's going on in our water. We believe very, very much that the water is playing as much of a significant role in the damage of our community as lead paint, soil, and dust. And it's probably playing an equal amount of damage. We're not going to back away from our argument about the water being a very insidious part of this whole lead poisoning. And this continued push by these folks, you know, about lead paint, lead this, you know, it's not backed with real data. I mean, I'm right now in the middle of fighting for some data from the health department and from the Milwaukee Water Works. You know, one of the things that we were looking at that we're trying to get the data for is to determine how many homes in the city of Milwaukee have both issues, lead paint and lead pipes.
Right.
And to get the city to focus on targeting those homes, because if you got 70,000 homes with lead pipes, then you got 70,000 homes with lead paint as well. You're taking on two issues at one time, knocking it out of the status.
But Robert, what I don't understand is lead paint, we talked about 40 years ago. in this city. Hold the thought, man. Hold the thought. We got to go to the break. 844-967-2789 is the number. My guest is Robert Miranda of Fresh Water for Life. You two can join the conversation. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. We'll be right back. Keep that same old feeling. Robert, 40 years ago, man.
Right, right. That's what I'm saying. This is just a matter of priorities not being put where the money should be put. The money should be put on a priority that was funded. And we got 40 years of addressing this issue and still 115,000 to 120,000 homes that are dealing with lead paint.
So, Robert, that should be criminal.
That again, if you don't have community leaders, and see, and a lot, like I said, community leadership is what drives the local government. If it's just quiet and getting its goodies and smacking its mouth with all those little puff cakes, it's not going to say anything. You know, the bottom line is you have to have community leadership that is going to push the government, the local government, to do with the money that needs to be done. Because if they don't, then basically they just go ahead and create all kinds of beautiful, creative, budgetary ways to take and skim money here and there and put it to fund some kind of little project out in the city anywhere. It just, you know, you don't have the kind of creative leadership, like you look at what happened in Newark, New Jersey. Newark, New Jersey. You know the story there, right?
Right, right.
They removed over 22,000 pipes, 22,000 lead pipes. In 2 years, they removed them. 2 years. And here we're talking about removing 1,100 pipes a year, and we've got about 66,000 or 70,000. And that number that the city of Milwaukee is pumping out there, about 66,000 to 70,000, I question that number, because before the ordinance was passed by the city of Milwaukee that outlawed or stopped the removal or partial removal of lead pipes, the city side, and leaving the pipe on the private side, they were doing that for years. We really don't actually know the real number of how many lead pipes are still on the ground until we get data that shows that all those years when they were partially removing lead pipes and kept the private side lead pipe on the ground, we need to have an accounting of how many of those pipes are still on the ground and add them to the known pipes that they're saying are 66,000. I believe that those numbers are much higher than what we're told right now.
You know, Robert, there are people who have argued, well, the city is doing its job. It's removing the pipes on its side. It's up to the owners of the homes to remove the pipes on their side. What do you say to people who say that, and especially people who really can't afford to do that? It's expensive.
That's the narrative of the government-backed or the backers of government policy. That's the narrative of community groups, of activists, of nonprofit organizations that have partnered with the city so that they can continue to get city goodies in order to run their organizations or run whatever groups they have. That's the narrative that the city wants out there. The bottom line is, the city needs to have a more comprehensive strategic plan that not only addresses the removal of lead laterals from its side and lead laterals on the private side, but also deals with the fact that there are lead pipes in the premises of the house. And those pipes need to be removed as well. But you don't hear that kind of talk because you got too many of these people that are cherry-picked by the city leadership to sit at the table and him and haw, and then agree with whatever the city bureaucrat or whatever the city elected official says needs to happen, and they just sit there nodding their head and hold their hand out, waiting for the next check from the city to come in.
You know, Robert, help us understand this. So let's say that the city removes the pipe from its side, and in doing so, when they do that, and the side that belongs to the homeowner has not been removed, while they're doing all of that pounding, does it intensify the lead on the homeowner's side? You would think that that would be the case.
No, it's actual proven studies that prove. EPA studies done by experts around the country on this matter that prove. The jostling and the continuation of hitting the pipes and doing what you need to do to remove the city side of the pipe does release particulate matter into the water. And it only does release it for that day or for a week. It could be releasing particulate matter up to a year after the work is done, because all the flakes have been loosened up. They haven't fallen in the water yet. But they've been loosened to the point where eventually 3, 4, 5, 6 months from now, they will fall into the water. And so, you know, it is a more comprehensive plan that needs to be done rather than stand in front of a camera and telling the city, look at us, look at we doing everything, we doing the best we can. No, you have to be much more aggressive in addressing this. And just sitting there saying, okay, we're done. We're doing what we can. That doesn't work. The people of the community need to be informed about this matter in a very aggressive way, so that they can also contribute to eliminating this hazard from our homes, from our water as well. We have to have a more holistic approach on addressing this hazard that is damaging and destroying our children's future.
So, Robert, for people who don't know, there are many rural areas that are experiencing the exact same thing. And to people who don't know the wherefore and those types of things, why is it that you and others say it is the government's fault that these pipes have lead in them?
Well, the city of Milwaukee, the research we've done and the history research done by one of our members, who is very prolific on researching history, we found evidence from Golden Meyer Library. We found evidence from the city of Milwaukee City Archives that shows that in the 1800s, especially around 1870s, the city of Milwaukee mandated the use of lead pipes, and that this was a government-created problem.
So Robert, is it safe to say that they mandated lead pipes because they would last longer than anything else that they had?
They mandated lead pipes because they found them to be more malleable.
Okay.
And easier to install than the cast iron stuff they were using for the water main. And so they then, and the other insidious part of this, our research showed that the mayor of that time in the 1870, I believe it was Ludwig or something like that, I can't remember his name, he had interest in the lead mines of Wisconsin. And so he was able to profit himself to make sure that these lead pipes were mandated and the lead is used, and he was making pretty good bank back then. And so if the people decided to do the research like we did, it'll show that it is not the responsibility of the private side owner. That is all just nonsense that was put into place in the 80s and in the 90s by city governments and utilities to get them off the hook for paying for the removal. The real issue here is that it is local government that is responsible for removing the entire lead lateral. Now, the bottom line is city homeowners do have to remove The pipes that are inside their house, the pipes that are in the premises that are lead, yes, they're responsible for that. But that's where the government should be coming in and working with city homeowners to do a tag team in removing the laterals and then working with the homeowner, working with the property owner to remove the inside by providing incentives or whatever, tax rebates or whatever. But we don't have that kind of thinking mentality at City Hall. What we have in City Hall is who's going to get medium rare steak and who's going to get well done. That's all they care about.
You know, Robert, it's not funny, man, because for people who don't know, the city of Madison was able to make it happen, right? It can happen,
exactly.
Right? It can happen.
Racine is making it happen. Kenosha is making it happen. Green Bay is making it happen. They're making it happen down there in Pittsburgh. They're making it all over the country. They're making it happen. Over here, yeah, we're doing something. But I'm not going to sit here and pat everybody in the back and say, we're making it happen. No, we're doing a very half-a job.
Hey, Robert, hang on. Robert, hang on. We got to go to the break. 844-967-2789. Robert Miranda's my guest. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. We'll be right back. Show as always. You can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. My guest is Robert Miranda from Platt. And you know, Robert, we can't let this go so long before we have you back on, because this $79 million that everybody's been trumpeting and saying, see, you know, the governor put this money in and we're going to be able to move faster with this. And then people can say, well, they're working on it.
We can't let that be the narrative. The narrative, you know, I'll just tell people, look, if you think this is going to do the trick, all you need to do is take a look at what they did in Newark. And if Newark can do what they did, and that's a city with a budget of about, almost $1 billion, and the city of Milwaukee budget is, about $1.4 billion.
Right.
So the bottom line is, why is it that the city of Newark, New Jersey, can remove 22,000 pipes in 2 years, and we're over here talking about struggling with 1,100 pipes a year? That's nonsense. That's ridiculous, and that just shows poor leadership, lack of courage, lack of will, and really, they just don't give a damn about black and brown people in the city.
You know, Robert, I go back to a couple of years ago when you and I had a conversation on air, and you said, we've got a plan. At the time, there was a lack of work and opportunities for people to get decent paying jobs. And you kind of led the fight in saying, listen, we can create great paying jobs and kill two birds with one stone and improve or escalate the amount of lead pipes that we can remove. And you kind of show where this made sense. What happened to that?
Well, what happened to it is now that they got the $79 million, now they're trying to steal that idea and say we can do it. But now, I'm not putting faith in them doing it the way I said that we need to be done. I think we just gonna see maybe 10% of what I said need to be done being done, so they can point at it and say, "Look, we're doing the best we can." It's just the same old. You know, and the community leaders and all the cherry picked activists that they work with will echo and mimic what they say, and everybody will say, okay, it must be rolling, you know. But you know, again, we said what about five, six years ago that our goal back then was to remove 1,000 pipes a year. In the last 5 or 6 years, we met that goal only one time. One time. Now they're saying our goal is to remove 1,100 pipes a year. And this money that they're getting from the feds now probably will be lasting another 4 or 5 years. I would be surprised if they meet that 1,100 goal every year. Well, and even if they don't meet it, you're going to have people out in the community who are working with them, the partners, city partners they have, who are going to be out there saying, but the city's doing the best it can. You know, as long as the city's paying these people off, you're going to see a lot more people out there saying the city's doing the best they can, drowning my voice.
You know, Robert, when you talk about 1,100 a year, even if they met that goal, how many years are we talking?
We're talking almost 60 years before we get to it's ridiculous. This is how pathetic the mentality of leadership has become. You are settling for the continuation of generations and generations to be poisoned on 1,100 a year, and you're happy? You are pathetic.
You know, Robert, I constantly talk about our government. And there are people who don't like the fact that I talk about our government and our government leadership, locally, nationally, you know. And when you know that this kind of thing is going on in this country, and this is in Washington, D.C., this is Congress, the Senate, you know, all the way to the White House, because Kamala Harris was here, so it's all the way up to the White House. They are aware of all of this. They know what's going on, and yet they'll say we can continue to spend almost $1 trillion on military. But we can't afford to pay for that, you know.
So, again, the priorities need to be refocused, and resources need to be targeted to the most important areas of need, and public health is a very needy, important area that needs to be funded properly, because without it, we're going to see continued increases of crime in our community. We're going to see the deterioration of the workforce that our economy relies on. We're going to continue to see the deterioration of our community because no one out there has the conscious or has the behavior to respect and treat the community and their own neighborhood the way it should be respected and treated. You don't do something about the priorities of the budget of the city right now, we're going to continue to see the decline of the city in the next couple of years.
And so, Robert, before we get out of here, is it safe to say that, you know, we're talking about poisoning children, but adults are poisoned also, right?
Oh, yeah, no. The adults are being poisoned very much. And Dr. Lamphere has many studies that show how lead is poisoning adults. And especially, he just released a study 2 years ago about a 30-year study they did that shows that lead is directly causing heart problems in many adults in our community, in the country.
So Robert, when you go to a doctor's appointment, they take blood. They don't automatically check for lead, do they?
No, they do not. You've got to ask them for it. You've got to ask them to do a lead test. And if your lead blood level comes back more than 3.5 milligrams per deciliter, you got problems. Anything higher than that, you got problems. It should be zero, but the CDC in its infinite wisdom said, well, let's just go ahead and bring it to 3.5. And mind you, when we first started this fight about 6 years ago, the CDC said that the lead level was okay at 10. In 6 years, it went down to 3.5. We're hoping to see it go down to zero here in the next year or two.
You know, Robert, I don't remember knowingly eating some lead, right? I mean, you got lead in your system. The question should be, where did it come from? Okay,
exactly.
They stopped the leaded gas, right? Because they knew that was an issue.
Right.
So they really.
And I don't think you as an adult are crawling on the floor sniffing lead dust.
No.
And I don't think you're standing by a windowsill biting on the window ledge that has lead. So, you know, as an adult, if you've got lead in your body, it's over the recommended dosage that you should have. You are drinking lead water, my friend.
Yeah, and so last thing before we run, what happened to all the filters that Milwaukee was giving that to address the issue? Are they still doing that?
Again, that goes to the argument that I made about the lack of information and informing the community about these things. And so people, until they call or until they want to know, they'll find out. But there's no automatic information being sent to folks about having filters or being granted to them. The city still does it. The city does have community partners, SDC and 16th Street, that help them with the distribution of filters. But they do not voluntarily inform the city residents as a whole where to go to get one. And so that needs to improve.
Hey, Robert, man, thank you very much as always. Man, we can't let it be this long. And I'll make sure on my side of the equation that I reach out to you at least once a month to keep us informed on where we are.
Sounds good, Earl.
All right, thank you as always, my friend. That's Robert Miranda, just a soldier, man, in the battle. Got to go to a break. When we come back, we'll continue the conversation. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. We'll be right back.
We look for love, no time for tears. Wasted water's all that is, and it don't make no flowers grow. Good things might come to those who wait, but not for those who wait too late. We gotta go for all we know. Just the two.